Do you need a break?
You read my mind.
Come with me.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Break. I'm Father Roderick, and in case you don't know me, I'm a priest and I'm a geek, and I love to talk with you about so many different things. We're going to talk a lot about Star Wars today. We're going to talk about books and so much more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. This episode of The Break is made possible thanks to my friends. I have a small but very faithful community of people that support me with small monthly donations, and they help me to do this ministry and to create these podcasts and also to create videos on TikTok and YouTube and so much more. We are currently transitioning from our old place where we had that community, which is Patreon, which is an amazing service, but we are upgrading to an even better environment, you could say, a better website. It's more than a website, and that will allow us to create an even better place for my friends to hang out. That is all going to be on the new website. We're currently working out the last wrinkles, or trying to iron out all the last technical wrinkles to get that up and running. And if you want to hear more about the plans, then you might want to take a look at the website. You can go to mediapriest.com. That domain should work right now. We're transitioning fatherroderick.com, so I'm not sure if that will work when you're trying it out, but maybe by the time you're listening to this, you can see for yourself. And I have some really cool news. In addition to the community of friends and patrons, supporters of what I do, I'm also working on creating two entirely new ways of helping you. And those are going to be two membership communities that will feature monthly master classes and also a monthly digital retreat. The first one, the masterclasses, are for a membership community that's going to focus on helping you to get better at creating content. As you may know, I have been working in the media since the moment I was ordained a priest. I already was working on Star Wars websites. I've done hundreds of interviews. I've worked for television, for radio. And as you know, I'm also quite active on social media. Now, all that knowledge and experience is something that I want to help other people with as well. So if you have a YouTube channel you would like to grow, if you want to learn how to podcast, how to create video, how to write, all that is going to be offered in this membership community, my creative content creator community. So that's going to be one membership community. The other one is for those of you that want some help in personal development, in growing both in your faith, in your life, when you're struggling with issues, if you need help to become stronger, healthier, more spiritual, a better citizen, whatever. All that is, it's going to be offered in this second membership community, which is all about personal growth. And that one will have monthly digital retreats. And both communities are going to have a vibrant community of people that can also share their own experience and knowledge and advice with you. So all of that is currently in the works. I'm developing it, and as soon as things are ready, we're going to open the doors to the first group of people who'd like to join one of these two communities. And this is in addition, of course, to the current patrons and friends. They will, of course, also be served through the new system, but this is something a bit more specific, a bit more goal-oriented. And what we're going to do is we're going to open it up for a limited time. It's going to be like a founder's opening. So it's for the first people that want to join me in this adventure, want to help me also build this up. And then we're going to close it, and I'm going to try to serve the existing members as best as I can, and then after a while we might reopen it for a second batch of members who would be interested. If you really want to stay updated and get the first new, like all the news about this, and you want to be informed immediately after these new developments happen, then you may want to subscribe to my email newsletter, which is my diary of a media priest. You can go to mediapriest.com/diary. You can subscribe for free. You even get a free download, a free ebook that I created for this time between Easter and Pentecost. It's a very geeky book. but that's my little freebie as a thank you for subscribing to my newsletter. So again, it's mediapriest.com/diary.
How do you not like movies?
They're predictable. Like, the guy gets the girl and that kid sees dead people and Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Not liking movies is like not liking puppies.
They're fine. I just get bored and never make it to the end.
You know, you need a movie education. You need a moviecation. I'm going to give it to you.
The movie that I want to review today was actually not boring, but I did struggle to make it all the way to the end. It is a movie by Christopher Nolan, of course, now very, very much in the news because of his Oscar-winning Oppenheimer movie. But a few years ago, I think it's 4 years earlier, in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, in the middle of the COVID pandemic, he published a movie that he wanted people to go watch in theaters, especially an IMAX theater. So not just a regular theater experience, but an IMAX experience. And it was very controversial because he was actually pitching it as a movie that would save the theater industry. As you know, for 2 years, movie theaters had a lot of trouble paying the bills because nobody wanted to get out there to watch a movie on the big screen, running the risk of getting COVID. And so a lot of these theaters, also my local theater here nearby in Ada, they were struggling for 2 years. And so everybody was hoping that a big blockbuster movie, especially one by such a famous producer-director as Christopher Nolan, could maybe bring back people into theaters. That movie was Tenet. And I completely missed it during COVID because I didn't go to the movies during the pandemic. But it was now available on streaming services, so I watched it the other day. And wow, was that a freaky, strange, bizarre experience. This literally is the most confusing movie I've ever seen. Now, sometimes there are these movies where you have a hard time getting into the story, or there's just a lot going on and you're plunged into the story without any context, and during the movie you're trying to figure things out. But this was on a whole different level. So the movie Tenet is about time inversion, if I can summarize it like that. So it's about a world where people in the future have figured out a way to reverse time. But it's not just time as a whole. This is not a time-traveling movie in the classic sense. But they are able to reverse time for certain objects and also for people. So there are people that, if they have been inverted, they can travel back in time. So, but it's still our current time. So imagine someone stepping out of that machine being inverted, and then he would just walk backwards. He would talk backwards. Time for that person would still be linear, but for that person, the entire world that is still going from A to B instead of from B to A would look as if it was in reverse. Now, that already is pretty complicated, but what makes it even more complicated is apparently there's this big plot that is a huge threat to our current linear world in our the time that we are used to, because the people from the future want to annihilate the past so they can reverse time, because apparently in the future the world is irreparably damaged by climate change, etc. So they want to reverse time for good so they can reclaim the Earth. But the price that has to be paid for such an inversion of things is by annihilating the existing past or present. You see how complicated this is? Now, the whole thing is, Christopher Nolan, almost on purpose, didn't want us to understand everything. So even though there's a ton of exposition in the movie, it is almost as if he, on purpose, tries to confuse us. In addition to that, what makes it even worse, at least if you want to understand the movie, is that almost all the dialogue is totally incomprehensible. The mix, the audio mix, is terrible. And apparently that was on purpose. So the music, the sound effects, the background noises, it's so overpowering that you have a hard time understanding what is said in the movie. And then at times people are talking backwards and they're using apps to oh my goodness. It is just so utterly incomprehensible. And apparently the advice that Christopher Nolan gave the moviegoers at the time was, well, this is not really a movie you have to approach intellectually, trying to understand. You have to feel it. You have to just open yourself for the experience. Well, I had no choice. There was just no way that I could understand what was going on. It was so convoluted, so complicated, so confusing that I just sat there and I was just watching and waiting for something to dawn upon me. And yes, towards the end of the movie, some things were starting to become more or less clear. I was like, oh, so I kind of see what's going on. But there's just a ton of plot holes in this and things that are not explained. And if you think about it, it doesn't make sense at all. It's such a strange movie. I've listened to a number of podcasts that review the movie, some of my favorite podcasters analyzing the movie, in the hopes that maybe I had missed something, and these reviewers usually watch the movie several times. So I figured, well, maybe they can explain it. I did this for Back to the Future as well, and I remember listening to some podcasts that really go into all the details of the time traveling and, you know, the grandfather paradox, what happens if you meet your grandfather and you accidentally kill him, so you would never be born, but how, if you have killed him in the past, could you even be there to kill him and all that sort of stuff? And almost all these podcasts said the same. We don't get it either. We've watched it several times and we still don't understand what's going on. It's really crazy. So the movie, in its first week, did very well. People were very curious about it. Of course, this was also in a time where much of the news was preoccupied with the pandemic. And so the movie didn't get that much press in the first place. So the first week was actually quite good, box office-wise, and then the movie just tanked, because everybody was like, yeah, don't go watch this movie, it's really not worth getting COVID for, it is so incomprehensible. And that was exactly how I felt after watching the movie. It was kind of mildly entertaining, but still, this is a Christopher Nolan movie, and if you look at the praise that he got for Oppenheimer, you wonder, how could the same guy make a movie that is so, like, really nonsensical as Tenet? I do believe that if you watch it several times, you might actually understand a little bit more what's going on and catch some details here and there, but it's not really worth it. It doesn't really give you, like, a deeper insight or this aha moment where all of a sudden everything falls into place. That's what I was hoping until the last minute. I was actually even hoping that there might be, like, a post-credits scene that would put everything together, but none of that happened. So I was like, okay, so that's, what is it? It's a long movie. It's like 2.5 hours that I will never get back. Was it worth it? Nah, it was really not worth it. It's such a strange movie. Why would you make a movie like that? Anyway, the only redeeming factor is that it is nicely shot. The cinematography is pretty good, except for the battle scenes, which unfortunately are very important. So there's a lot of fighting going on. First, it's like one-on-one fighting choreography, and later on it's this big kind of open air battle between factions, and all of that looked very generic and just not very interesting. The fighting stuff was not filmed very well, and at the same time it took way too much time in the movie itself. So at one point I was like, okay, let's get this over with. Can I fast forward this? But the locations where they shot this movie are sometimes very,
Very cool. They've been filming in Italy at one point. There's some gorgeous, gorgeous views. But that's Italy. That's not Christopher Nolan. That's just because Italy is such a beautiful country. But so that I enjoyed. But the rest, no, I would definitely not recommend that movie. Something I would recommend, however, switching to the second topic of this movie TV segment, is the new trailer for Tales of the Empire. This came out of at least for me, came out of nowhere this past week. It's a new trailer, and this is the sequel to the very popular Tales of the Jedi, which came out last year, I think, which I think was incredibly well. So this originated literally in Dave Filoni's car. He told the story while he was speaking on stage at the Star Wars celebration in London, and he shared how oftentimes he would commute to work, and then because he was stuck in traffic or whatever, he was thinking about all these loose threads in the overall story of Star Wars and little stories that he had developed in his mind, for instance, while he was working on the Ahsoka series. And every writer does this, even for just novels. You create a backstory for your characters, which you don't write down necessarily, maybe just in your own notes. But it's too inconsequential, or it's just background information to kind of flesh out your characters so that they feel like real people. And so some of these stories that he had developed for Ahsoka and for General Grievous and for Qui-Gon Jinn's character, some of that backstory, he was like, I wish I could tell these stories. I wish I could show these stories but they're too small. It's just not enough for a television series. We only have limited options when it comes to TV. As you know, of course, Disney is trying to reduce the number of television series that they're putting out in movies in order to up the quality and to save costs. So you can't have like television series about Qui-Gon Jinn, the younger years of General Grievous, etc. But in an animated series, there might be an option to tell these small vignettes that fill in the backstory of all these different characters. This is how Tales of the Jedi came about. And I really liked that series. I thought the vignettes were the ideal length, not too long, not too short. They were very well animated, kind of on the level of the later Star Wars Rebels and the current Bad Batch. It's kind of really good quality animation. And I like to just discover these small backstories. So I thought that we would get, since this series was very popular among fans, that we would just get a second batch of Tales of the Jedi. But to everyone's surprise, it turned out to be Tales of the Empire. And this time the stories will focus on some backstories of characters and events from the perspective of the Empire. So let's take a look at the trailer that dropped 5 days ago and immediately garnered about 3 million views.
Why do you seek Imperial favor?
Thrawn, I love it.
Years ago, my people were all but destroyed.
Some characters from the Clone Wars.
Gives me strength.
Anger leads to the dark side.
I offer the Empire.
Offer accepted.
That's a young Thrawn. On May the 4th,
I'm here
Star
to
Wars Day.
You with an opportunity, Barriss.
Just be glad you're not a Jedi anymore.
Two
Your
stories.
Your path is set, Morgan Elsbeth.
Morgan Elsbeth.
I will fulfill my destiny.
From Ahsoka. Ooh, one path.
Mercy only breeds defeat.
Nice. To the
but
dark
I will
side.
Help you overcome this weakness. Attack!
You said the Empire would help to change things.
Everything comes at a cost.
Some references to The Mandalorian.
My world has been burning.
General Grievous, very
Since
cool.
I was a child. You cannot stop what has begun.
now you must face one final test. To join us. It is time you meet your new master.
The Emperor? Or who is this?
Darth Vader, yes.
Long live the Empire.
Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire. Original shorts available May the 4th. This is amazing. So apparently, we're going to have the entire series to binge watch. It's going to be published in its entirety on May the 4th. What a great way to celebrate Star Wars Day. And wow, does this trailer look good. And I really love that they focus on two stories. This is kind of similar to what they did with Tales of the Jedi, where it focused on young Qui-Gon Jinn and General Grievous. And, or what's his name? Not Grievous, but anyway. So Qui-Gon Jinn, and the other one was the younger years of Ahsoka. Here, they focus on the path of two people that we know from, let's say, The Mandalorian, and the other one from Clone Wars. Now, the first character, I don't even remember her name, but she plays a pretty important role in the later seasons of the Clone Wars. That is a bit of a risk, because I think for the general public, she's not that well known. I don't think that we've seen her in a live action series yet. I may be wrong here, but anyway, so what I like is that they give these two characters some backstory as well. How did they join the Empire? What is their rationale? And that is so important when it comes to creating believable bad guys. You need to have a proper motivation. And I think a lot of current movies and TV shows, and especially Marvel, I think, can be blamed for that, is creating all these nemesis, these you know, villains that have no real believable backstory. They're just evil. They just want to, whatever, destroy the world, and it's always kind of the same generic formula. Whereas the bad guys that really captivate us have a backstory that is revealed over time. Think of Voldemort, for instance, one of the scariest villains in modern day storytelling. You discover more and more why he is who he is and how he became that very creepy guy that nobody wants to even pronounce the name of. And with Vader, of course, when he was first introduced in A New Hope, that was just, I thought as a child when I watched that movie, that he was the ultimate bad guy. And he looked so dangerous and so scary, and he was so murderous and cruel that I didn't need, as a child, I didn't need a backstory. I just thought he was the ultimate evil. And I just wanted Luke Skywalker to defeat him. Little did I know. And then in the second movie, I remember my shock when I discovered that there actually was someone who was Darth Vader's boss. And it was this strange monkey-looking holographic emperor who, at the time, had no backstory either. He was just announced as the emperor. You didn't really see who he was. And then in The Return of the Jedi, my shock was even greater when it turned out to be this kind of like very small guy in modest robes who looked kind of creepy, but you couldn't really tell because he was constantly covering his face with his cloak. And he was just a creepy, almost felt like a gnome or like an evil sorcerer or something like that. And it's only much, much later that we get his backstory and that we discover through the prequels. That is, for me, one of the most important contributions of the prequels, is to see not the rise of Anakin, the rise and the fall of Anakin Skywalker, but that we see the rise and fall of Emperor Palpatine, or Senator Palpatine, who is going to watch Anakin's progress with great interest, as he says at the end of The Phantom Menace. And we see how he is slowly perverting the democracy of the galaxy into an empire. Of course, very clear political undertones there, where George Lucas told that particular part of the story because he felt it was relevant for our world today, because what Padme Amidala says at one point in the Senate towards the end of the prequels, you know, this is how democracy
falters or with thundering applause. And that phrase has never been more pertinent than in today's world, where more and more of our Western countries are kind of like succumbing to the to extremism and to just all forms of non-democratic types of organizations, rulers, Anyway, I don't need to explain that. It's so obvious that this is more relevant even than when the prequels came out. So it's always good to see that the Star Wars universe keeps filling in the blanks and explores ways of telling a story that at once connect us with the existing stories that we know and love, but also add information, bring something new to the table. This is why I think Tales of the Empire and the whole Tales series is extremely fruitful. And I think they can do a ton of series like this. They can do Tales of the Bounty Hunters, or Tales of the, what else can we come up with? Tales of the Padawans, or Tales of the Robots. You could do a whole, of course, that has been done before. Tales of the Tatooine Farmers. You can keep doing this forever and ever. It's really lovely. And I have to say, animation gets better every time. I'm also glad that they still keep it kind of, it still looks like animation. They don't try to be like photorealistic. But a lot of the lighting and the landscaping that you see in these animated shorts are just incredible. If you go back to the first season of The Clone Wars and you look at the state of animation back then, it's hard to watch. It looks like a cutscene from a PlayStation 2 video game. And despite the fact that the animation has been refined over the years and they've been able to do so much more and to create it much faster than they were used to be able to do in the early years of the Star Wars animation. They still held on to that certain look of Star Wars animation, which is quite consistent when it comes to Clone Wars, The Bad Batch, and now these Tales of the Empire, Tales of the Jedi series. It feels coherent. But there is a huge leap in quality if you compare it to where it once began. So, yeah, Bad Batch is quite amazing. All right, let's go to another Star Wars trailer. This time, it is not for a movie, although it's for a for a video game. But these video games are just a form of storytelling. And so that's why I want to integrate it here in the movie TV segment, because this is like an interactive movie. You're going to be able to join the character, the main character of the game, in her story. And a lot of the animation, this is a different style from Clone Wars and The Bad Batch. This is much more realistic. You can still, of course, tell that it's a video game. But I love the development of these kind of stories, interactive stories. I loved the Fallen Order series. Still have to play the second game. I'm waiting for the price to go down a little bit more. And then, of course, this new game is called Star Wars Outlaws, and the official story trailer, we have already seen, of course, like a short teaser trailer, which was really good, but the story trailer is even better, so let's take a look.
Each of you represents some of the most powerful criminal organizations in the galaxy. Pikes, Crimson Dawn, Huts. It's a golden age for the underworld. The Empire controls every corner of the galaxy, but they're distracted by a rebellion that won't quit. It's an opportunity to make millions.
Kind of ties in with the Boba Fett series.
The underworld's favorite new scoundrel. We meet at last.
What do you want?
Zarek Besh. They're new, rich, and lethal. You crossed their boss, Sliro, and now he wants you gone. Rob his fortune and buy your freedom.
this job, it's a death wish.
That was Han Solo.
I'm in.
In his frozen form.
Out here, you live and die by your reputation. You want to survive? Know the players.
You're new to this world.
What's your problem?
Come back when you're not.
Jabba, right? Look, don't try anything. I got a whole crew surrounding the...
Okay, we're skipping that part.
For about as long as I can remember, it's just been me and Nix. Doing what we have to survive. This job is my one shot at freedom. But if we're gonna pull this off, we need the right crew. And the right ship.
I hire you because you are one of the best hunters in the Outer Rim.
She's more connected than you let on, Saliro. Bess is mixed up in something bigger.
The Outer Rim is a dangerous place. Everyone is fighting for their piece of the galaxy. But all I want is to live free. So I'm gonna risk it all.
Star Wars Outlaws, pre-order available now.
All right, so that was the trailer for Star Wars Outlaws. It looks very good. I wouldn't say it looks great. You can still tell that this is in-game animation. It uses the engine of the game, which is probably Unreal. Unreal 4, probably? I don't know, but it looks like many other video games, so in terms of quality, overall animation quality, it doesn't go beyond what we've seen in other games. But, of course, this is in the Star Wars universe, and so you see a lot of familiar scenes or familiar-looking scenes. You know, it's always a bit inspired by the visual language, you could say, that has been established in the Star Wars universe. It's the story itself is okay. It's this rogue young woman who has a pet and is infiltrating in the criminal underground. So this is kind of vaguely inspired by some of the ideas that George Lucas had for his TV show back when, way before he sold the franchise to Disney. And he wanted to do, you're actually already producing a whole bunch of seasons of a television series about the Star Wars underworld. And so you see a lot of elements of what he developed there, and a lot of that has been filmed. We've just never seen it, except for a few clips here and there. But a lot of the ideas from that never-shown television series are, I think, at the basis of this video game, or at least inspired some of the story and the characters in this video game. There's one thing lacking, if you ask me. One pretty important element of Star Wars that makes it feel like Star Wars, and I don't see it here. I don't say that it's not there in the game itself, but here in the trailer, I think it's a really an omission, and makes me not as excited about this trailer as I thought I would be. And that's humor. There are a few moments where they try to create a little bit of a humorous moment. For instance, when she wants to get away with her spaceship, and then apparently the seat, her seat has to be heightened, so it's a bit too low for her, and you can tell that they're trying to make us chuckle, but it doesn't work, it doesn't land. And there are a few visual moments. For instance, she's on this speeder bike and she's traversing a lake, and then her pet is holding on for dear life to the back of the speeder bike. You could tell it's supposed to be funny, but it the rest of the trailer is also serious. And it's very much focused on the action, on the game aspect of it. So again, it doesn't work. And Star Wars, I think what makes Star Wars so special is that always you will have the kind of the serious threat and
the bad guys and the shooting and the fighting is always alternated with these moments where Star Wars makes you laugh, and the dialogue is, you know, has these funny moments. I don't see it here. That is not to say that this won't work. Maybe it's just a deliberate choice that they just don't want to, or maybe they just don't want to reveal the jokes. That's also possible. But it just feels like it's just not the kind of story where you will have like Han Solo type of humor in there, or Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin. There's some of that, you know, back and forth dialogue that I really like in the prequels. I don't see it here. Andor is another Star Wars story that had very little humor. There were a few moments that make you chuckle, but that's also a deliberate choice. It's a very serious story. And so it doesn't try to bring in artificial levity just for the sake of having jokes there. But on the whole, if you look at the animated tradition right now, and especially the movies, the theatrical releases, humor is a vital ingredient of the story, and the jokes land, and I don't see that here. So that's my only gripe with the story. The rest of the game looks very cool. Is it groundbreaking? Probably not. It is very much in the vein of at least as far as I can tell from this trailer, of what they did with the Fallen Order game. And so I'm just looking forward to being able to play one of the protagonists of this in the Star Wars universe, and experience an interactive story. And probably once you have played through the game, there's not much replay value because it's so much story driven. That's another thing that I think is unfortunate, because we've had a number of these games, but the games that have a long shelf life and that are still, you know, played years after their release always have an end game. They always have a phase where you've played through the story, and then you can keep on playing and leveling up your character, and maybe it has multiplayer, sometimes also DLC, so you can continue the story. I don't think any of that is going to be in the works for this particular game. They're probably just hoping to sell a lot of these games on day one. And then hopefully, the game will continue to sell well to new players. But once you've played it, you have to move on to another game. It's a choice that they make. But I kind of was hoping that at least the newer Star Wars games would also have a bit of that, like what made Battlefront so cool. And you can just play these games over and over again, and there's always an adventure to be had. I really miss the continuation of the Battlefront series. I thought that set the bar so high, and it was so much fun to play. It still is a lot of fun to play, but the player base is shrinking because they're, you know, these games are not supported anymore, and eventually they will at one point just stop being fun because there are no more players. This is definitely the case with the first Battlefront game. Of the new batch, of course, because there have been multiple incarnations of the Battlefront series, but some of these older games are still, they look gorgeous. And I'd love to play them, but without fellow players, it's no more fun. Maybe AI in the future can give more longevity to multiplayer games like that, where they can replace real players with AI. I mean, why not? But we're not there yet. So anyway, I hope that Star Wars will continue to thrive in the gaming universe, and that we'll get more and more games that will help us to immerse ourselves in that world. And maybe the future is going to be in VR. Maybe, you know, Lucasfilm has been dabbling, or LucasArts, I should say, which is the gaming division of Lucasfilm. They've been doing some shorter games in VR. I remember playing this Darth Vader apprentice game on the Quest, and that was the most immersive Star Wars experience that I've ever had. You become face to face to Darth Vader, and then you realize how scary he truly is, because he's standing right there towering over you. So that was quite an unforgettable experience, but very short. And I'd love to see more games like that, but then make it an RPG that I can play for months. That's my ultimate dream. And I'm sure that one day we'll get there. I just hope I don't have to wait too long. And with that, it is the end of our episode of The Break. Of course, for my supporters, my patrons, I've got a slightly longer version of the break, so stay tuned if you're one of those. And if you want to continue to support me, right now we've closed the subscription to Patreon because we're in the process of moving to our new website environment, but that's only going to be for a very short time. If you'd like to listen to these longer shows, to these premium shows, very soon we will reopen the ways to support my mission and my shows. If you want to stay informed, as I said before, make sure you are subscribed to my newsletter over at mediapriest.com/diary. It's free. You can always unsubscribe if it's too much for you, but that is the perfect way to stay informed about, you know, all these new things. And it's for me a way to connect with you on a more personal level. So thank you so much for the privilege of your time. May the Force be with you, live long and prosper, and we will talk soon. God bless.